All right, thank you, John. Hello, everyone. Again, my name is Ryan Dixon. I'm a new assistant professor at the University of Arkansas, and I'm going to be presenting today on a project we did looking at floriculture species effects on root zone pH in response to low iron and phosphorus stress. So a little bit of background. Plants influence the pH in their root zones. They do this predominantly by balancing the ionic charges of nutrients as they take them up into their roots. So as a plant takes up positively charged nutrients called cations, in this case ammonium NH4+, they've got to balance that positive charge, and they do so by effluxing acid out of their roots, lowering the pH. On the other hand, when plants take up negatively charged nutrients, they've got to balance that negative charge, and they do so by effluxing hydroxyl ions or bicarbonates. This neutralizes acidity and raises pH. An example is nitrate in that case. Equal cation and anion uptake, they cancel each other out, no pH change. And it's not related to nutrient uptake, but the conversion of ammonium to nitrate nitrogen, this is microbial nitrification, also an important source of soil acidity in the root zone. So we've learned in the past that floriculture species differ in their cation-anion uptake ratios and their influence on pH. And so these are data that we collected from a series of projects a few years ago. We grew pelargonium in patients in petunia hydroponically in a couple of different solutions. And we measured cation-anion uptake and also looked at pH effect. And so what we learned is that overall, pelargonium has this tendency to take up greater cations and anions. It's got a greater cation-anion ratio greater than 1. That's on the y-axis. It tends to push pH down. Petunia, on the other hand, tends to have a cation-anion uptake of less than 1. More anion uptake, pH goes up. And in patients was in the middle with somewhat equal uptake of cation and anion nutrients. In addition, floriculture species differ in their susceptibility to developing micronutrient disorders, particularly iron and manganese metal micronutrients. So in addition to lowering the pH, pelargonium tends to be sensitive to micronutrient toxicity, particularly at low pH where these nutrients are more soluble for plant uptake. On the other hand, petunia, which raises pH, sensitive to micronutrient deficiency at high pH, where those nutrients are less soluble. In patients, somewhat intermediate, tends to be more tolerant of a wider range in pH. And so because pelargonium lowers the pH and is sensitive to toxicity, we tend to term this crop species as being iron efficient and efficient at uptake, and we grow it at a higher pH. Now, agronomic crop species that are called iron efficient, these are plant species that are particularly adapted to high pH calcareous soils, and they have a response to low iron stress or iron deficiency in that they intensely acidify the root zone. And this is a specific mechanism that increases iron solubility around the roots, increases uptake. It's been seen with phosphorus deficiency for certain crops and is well documented in the literature. Going back to floriculture, marigold is another iron-efficient plant species, and it has been shown to acidify the root zone under iron-deficient conditions. Pelargonium has been shown to drop pH under phosphorus deficiency. Previous studies in this area have only evaluated one crop species, so there's not a multiple crop species comparison, and we still haven't answered the question, is geranium really iron-efficient? Does it acidify the root zone? And is this somehow related to cation anion nutrient uptake? So we had two experimental objectives. One was to determine the potential for root zone acidification in response to iron and phosphorus deficiency among three floriculture crops. And the second was to evaluate effects of iron and phosphorus deficiency on cation anion nutrient uptake using a model hydroponic system. The crops we looked at, pelargonium in patients and petunia. We conducted a growth chamber experiment with two factors, the first being nutrient solution. So plants were grown in four modified Hoagland solutions where nitrogen was supplied 100% in the nitrate form. So ammonium and urea nitrogen forms tend to drop pH, and we didn't want that to be a confounding factor when we looked at plant root responses. The solutions were a complete solution with all macro and micro elements. That was a control. Solutions with no iron, no phosphorus, and no sulfate. The sulfate is another major anion nutrient that has similar, plants have similar requirements for phosphorus and sulfate, and so we wanted to look at a good comparison for removing a major anion from the solution to compare with no phosphorus. These solutions were mixed with reagent-grade salts and deionized water. The second factor, plant species, which included a no-plant control as well. There are four replicates per treatment. Each replicate was an individual 4.5-liter hydroponic container. There are five plants per replicate. We applicated the species to hydroponic culture for 7 days prior to the experiment, and the experiment lasted for a total of 21 days. We replenished the nutrient solution in each container every 7 days. We tracked changes in pH during the experiment, so solution pH was checked every 2 to 3 days. It was maintained between 5.5 and 6.5 using hydrochloric acid and sodium hydroxide, and then we determined the cumulative or net change in pH units over the course of the project. Nutrient uptake was determined by depletion of nutrients from the solution every 7 days, which was summed over the 21-day period. We converted uptake into milliequivalent values, and then we calculated cation-anion uptake ratios by the plant. And I know there's a typo in this slide, but it should be milliequivalents of cations taken up divided by milliequivalents of anions. So after 21 days, plants developed symptoms of either iron, phosphorus, or sulfur deficiency, except for the ones grown in the complete nutrient solution. Interveinal chlorosis and bleaching of young leaves was observed with iron deficiency, general leaf chlorosis for sulfur deficiency, and then stunted plant growth, lower leaf expansion, and dark green foliage with phosphorus deficiency. And I'm not showing the data in this presentation, but tissue nutrient analysis indicated deficient levels for phosphorus, iron, and sulfur in those respective solutions. Inadequate tissue nutrient levels for the control. So what we found out is that Pelargonium acidified the root zone and decreased pH with no iron solution. So what we're looking at in this slide, on the x-axis we have days into the project. On the y-axis we have change in pH units, cumulative change. So a negative value would be a drop in pH, a positive value would be an increase in pH. And so in the letters at the end are Tukey's mean separation for day 21. And what we see is that plants dropped pH after 5 days with the no iron solution, that's the red line and arrow, and continued to push pH down for the remainder of the project. With the no phosphorus solution, plants increased pH up until about 4 days, then plants became stressed, and we see a general decrease in pH, but it still remained basic by the end of the experiment. And then pH changes occurred approximately when visual symptoms of deficiency showed up in the plants. Here's a similar graph within patients. And so in patients tended to increase pH, and plants grown in the no phosphorus solution increased pH up until 14 days, after which that blue line plateaus. That's when plants became stressed. We're not growing anymore and taking up nutrients, and there are no further changes in solution pH. And with petunia continued to increase pH even throughout the experiment, even when plants showed clear signs of nutrient deficiency and were pretty visibly stressed. So there's a lot going on in this graph here, but just to get oriented, we have plant species on the x-axis, and we have cation-anion uptake ratio on the y-axis. The dotted line is cation-anion uptake of 1, and so if we look at the black lines first, these were plants grown in the control solutions, and we can see that cation-anion uptake ratios were well below 1 in, for each crop, so pH was going up. And so now if we focus in on Pelargonium was the only species that increased cation-anion uptake ratio under nutrient-deficient conditions. And so we go to the red bar, and which is the no iron solution, and we see a very positive and high cation to anion uptake ratio, which correlated with the decrease in pH we saw with that treatment. Cation anion uptake also increased with the no phosphorus and no sulfur solutions, but those values were not statistically different from one in this case. I wanted to provide just show quickly how iron deficiency in pelargonium influenced relative nutrient uptake. And so we've got solutions on the x-axis, and then we've got nutrient uptake as a percentage of total nutrient uptake on the y-axis. And so as we move, this is for pelargonium, and as we move from the control solutions to the no iron solution, we see a decrease in nitrate uptake, it's a major anion, and a relative increase in calcium and potassium and magnesium uptake. So that's the shift in cation to anion uptake ratio that we observed. I threw this slide in. It's a little bit of preliminary data. So in agronomic crop species, iron-efficient plants oftentimes have the ability to increase iron reductase activity in their roots. They're able to solubilize, basically convert iron 3+ ferric iron into ferrous iron, and which facilitates uptake. And so we evaluated that in this project as well. When going from a complete nutrient solution to iron deficient conditions, both pelargonium and in patients upregulated their reductase activity by 40%. This is not very high. It can be tenfold in agronomic crop species, but we thought it was an interesting result, whereas petunia tended to decrease its ability to reduce ferric iron. So this is something that we're looking into a little bit more. We did a follow-up project where we grew the same crop species in peat-based substrates and gave them the same nutrient solutions minus the no sulfate solution. We grew the plants at pH 6.4 for 14 days and then switched to no iron and no phosphorus for another 28 days. At the end of that time period, we measured change in pH units in the root zone. We also looked at cation anion uptake based on plant tissue analysis. And in summary, we showed that species became deficient in both iron and phosphorus. That was apparent through tissue analysis and also visual symptoms of the plant. Cation anion uptake increased for pelargonium when supplied with the no iron fertilizer and the no phosphorus fertilizer, but there is no effect on the root zone pH in this case. And so our thought here is that particularly with no iron, plants have the ability to acidify the immediate zone around the roots, but that doesn't extend into the bulk soil. And so when we conduct our leachate, our soil test, it's basically measuring the pH of the bulk soil. And so if there was any acidification, it was potentially masked by our techniques. So in summary, I've got 2 minutes left, less than 2 minutes. Pelargonium drops root zone pH with no iron in hydroponics, but not in patients or petunia. Acidification did occur, and it was correlated with an increase in cation anion uptake of greater than 1, even with 100% nitrate hydroponic solution, which should, under normal conditions, result in increased pH. The root acidification may be a result of an iron-efficient plant strategy in the case of pelargonium, but little effects on bulk substrate pH. And we have some evidence now that shows that pelargonium might be more iron-efficient in a physiological way compared to species like petunia. So with that, I'll take maybe, I don't know if I have time for questions, but yeah.
Well, thank you. Thanks.
Can you repeat the question?
Do you know of any iron deficient wheat plants you could trust? All the iron deficient plants I know are herbaceous.
Not off the top of my head, but yeah, I'll give it some thought.
All right, let's thank Ryan again.